Hour, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. You got Christian Arcan and Andy Hart coming your way, WEEI afternoons at 2 o'clock. They'll talk to Patriots quarterback Jacoby Brissett, maybe about that throw. Hanging in,
I
taking
bet it comes
a hit.
Up.
Hitting Kayshon Booty.
Booty.
Down the field there.
I thought he got in on that originally.
Third down conversion. Well, the other play, was that the second play or was that the third down conversion?
I was talking about the one
where
they got
it down at the half yard line.
I was like, I thought he got in there.
Booty.
Yeah.
Good stuff there from, who was it yesterday? Spiro Ditas
and Adam Archuleta.
Patriots.
He'd lay out over the middle.
Oh, he would.
Archuleta popped
in. Yeah, you weren't getting in the end zone on that guy.
Not on
that play. If you're just tuning in here, last hour we had breaking news that Joshua Uche, now a Kansas City Chief, Patriots dealt him for a sixth rounder, not next year.
No.
But a sixth rounder in 2026.
Supposed to be a good deep draft in 2026.
It's the Chiefs, so it's basically a seventh rounder. I do like a text like this, 37937, crappy trade. We get nothing for our guys and lose out on top receivers for a simple fourth round pick. Fire Wolf.
Oh, no.
That's not good for the Wolf Pack.
Yeah, I don't think Josh Uche was really a part of the present, let alone the future.
No.
So flipping him for whatever, I'm fine with.
I am too. It's just, again, the Chiefs is the one thing that gives me pause. It's
what if he goes there
and plays well?
But I don't know how many teams are lining up to trade for him. Did you get the best value? Maybe.
The answer is, if really the best you could do is a six-rounder 2 years from now, then you should take the best you can do. I do feel that way. But at the same time, it's like, couldn't you just cut the guy and not have him go win a Super Bowl in Kansas City?
Oh, I don't care. I'll take the pick, even though it's a low pick. Because I figure, you can't have the worst roster in football and then also sell and like get a whole lot. Because they wouldn't be the worst roster in football. Like, if you had good players to trade,
well, again,
maybe you wouldn't want to trade them.
The names we kick around, Godshall, Bourne, KJ Osborne.
Like that, you're getting nothing for
even
him.
Even Duggar. The whole Twitch chat. Oh, how can you trade Duggar? He's one of their good players. No, that's why you trade him. He's one of the players you could get something for.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to rebuild and get draft picks, trading the Uches of the world for a sixth rounder in 2 years is not the way to do it. The way to do it is to trade your good players who don't help.
I think if you took the entire roster and put them all on the block, the only two players that you're getting anything for are Drake May and friend of the show, Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Even Ramondre, good player, fun player. What does a running back go for at the trade deadline? Not much.
Mate, could you think you could get a
fourth round pick?
Yeah.
Fourth round pick. Maybe it's one of these conditions, right? If he plays on the Super Bowl team, you get a third or fourth, like maybe a fifth to a fourth. DeAndre Hopkins went from a fifth to a fourth.
What would Henry get?
Cooper was a three.
Same thing, mid-round pick.
Similar, late. Yeah, and he's solid, like good player. But guys usually don't go for as much as you think. Unless
you're
a true number one receiver, a rare quarterback trade like Stafford, or like a Laremy Tunsil, like a Haas left tackle. I mean, they don't really get traded for much.
Even the receivers, Keith. None of them have gone for anything.
None of them have gone this year
Hopkins,
for first round picks.
Cooper, Adams. None of them have gone for Adams. Adams is a third rounder conditional second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all baseline
Cooper's
third.
Cooper's a conditional
lower.
Second? What is he?
No, I think he's a third, too.
Even lower. So, yeah. So, like, you think you're going to get more than that for any of these guys?
Those are all, like, decent players. So, none of the guys on the Patriots, like, legit trade value, top on down. You know, Drake May, you would obviously get a ransom for. And I think Gonzalez, because of the position, still really young on his rookie deal, you'd get something good for him. But that's really kind of it. So it's not like a name you could throw out there and be like, ooh, what about this guy? It's like, okay.
So we've talked a lot about the Patriots, their win today. And do you feel good about it? Was it a costly win? You lose Drake May. Did it cost you draft positioning, which I care much less about? The Drake May thing bothers me to a degree, but he should be back maybe this weekend, certainly the following weekend. That's how it goes with concussions, not to belittle them or brush them aside, but he'll be back sooner rather than later. On the Jets side, I missed this tweet earlier today. Dan Orlovsky had a tweet.
Oh boy, he's had a season.
Well, he has, but this is a good one.
Okay.
And credit to Dan Orlovsky, this is a good one. A team scores 20 plus points, had zero turnovers, and allows fewer than 250 yards. That's what the Jets did yesterday.
Okay.
20 plus points,
sounds
no
like
turnovers,
a good formula for a win.
Allowed fewer than 250 yards in NFL history.
All right.
Teams are 750 and one. 750 wins, one loss, including the playoffs, when generating that box score. The only loss in NFL history was the New York Jets yesterday.
Sounds like a Keith Key going forward. Don't turn it over.
Yeah.
Over 20 points. Allow under 250 yards.
Can't
and you're
going
to win, except unless you're the Jets.
Right.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't say what if... But if you have a delay of game on a two-point conversion, if you miss an extra point, if you miss a game field goal, Zuerlein blows.
If you use all your timeouts in the first half because you can't line up
first
properly.
First quarter.
Use
all the first quarter because you can't line up and just like no urgency. And they were a disaster. You had no turnovers. All right. Well, still need to do better than what they did. No, the missed kick. So especially before we had the Josh Uche breaking news, I was giving Marcus Jones a ton of credit.
Oh, yeah.
And the Patriots special teams for making that play because that was a short field. They score a touchdown.
You just like our guy Jeremy Springer.
I do like Jeremy Springer.
I like him too, yeah.
With the exception of the kicker punt return by the Jaguars, it's pretty much been pretty good.
It's been solid, yeah.
So that put them in position to get Jacoby Brissett and a touchdown drive. Then they take the lead. I think that gave them a lot of confidence. Now, they had to fight back. They eventually, on the game-winning drive, that was a real drive. That was 70 yards. But to at least get them scoring, you're like, all right, I think they needed that Marcus Jones return. And then you combine that with Zuerlein missing kicks, which he's done all season long. Like, he's cost them multiple games. The next transaction you're going to hear is he's going to get cut.
Yeah.
He has to.
Well, you saw, I think this might be in the grab bag.
Yeah, Francesa was
Going off on Zuerlein,
yeah,
among other things.
But he was terrible because then you miss the point. It forces you to go for two later. You miss the two. You miss the three. And that's 5 points that are on the board that, you know, in a game in which you lose by three.
So, are you frustrated with that loss yesterday? In other words, do you want the Patriots to tank? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Now, Keith, at the end of the first hour,
yes,
we had a receiver talk scheduled. This is a real bad day for them, at least until the finish, with Bouti. Kayshon Bouti.
Yep.
Then we started talking about it end of last hour, and we got sidetracked again. First, the Hunter Henry interview. Then we had breaking news on Uche.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I don't know what's going to happen now that we plan on talking about them again. What'd you think of the receiver day yesterday, Keith? Because it was five drops. At one point, it was four drops and four catches. They added another drop and another few catches. But basically, it was a forgettable day, a horrible day, a horrendous day for the receivers that then was salvaged at the tail end by Kayshon Bouti getting two catches on the final drive. Your thoughts on the receivers yesterday?
I thought they were horrible. I think that we
have... It's a sad day. It's a bad day.
For the most part, I feel like we've turned our attention away from how bad the receivers are, and that is shame on us. We've been talking about the offensive line. We've been talking about the quarterback debate quite a bit. And then over recent weeks, the defense falling apart. And then obviously Jerod Mayo saying stuff and walking it back every other day. That we've sort of left to the side a topic that was there all offseason long was how bad the receivers are. One thing, we talk about how confident they are. We talk about them talking all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when Jacoby Brissett was out there the first 5 weeks, they didn't have a ton of opportunity. And not that they made the most of it when they did, but they didn't really have a ton of opportunity. With Drake May, you're thinking, all right, there's more chances. There's more down-the-field opportunities. And they just stink at it. Like, Tyquan Thornton shouldn't be on the team.
Nope.
Was a bad draft pick from Jump Street. Mm-hmm. Has done nothing to warrant a roster spot or playing time. And he drops a 40-yard pass by Drake May. Next play... Drake May gets hurt.
So I didn't realize those were back. You said that earlier. Realize those were back-to-back plays.
Yes, I do.
I
directly put that on Thornton.
Again, Jerod Mayo would put it on Drake May for getting himself hurt. You put it on Tyquan Thornton. Okay.
Kayshon Bouti at least was able to shake off two bad drops for two big catches. Mm-hmm. You got to give him credit for that. Now, he might want to not be the guy that, hey, I never drop passes. Literally the next opportunity you had, you drop passes. He was saying in the media last week, I had a call for the two deep shots, and I shouldn't have to do that because I haven't dropped a pass all year. Immediately drops two passes. So he's probably an NFL receiver, but I'm not going to go much higher than that now.
It's unbelievable what you just said, where he goes, I haven't dropped anything all year. Two drops.
Back to back. Bang.
Dude, stinks. Kayshon Bouti has the drops yesterday. Tyquan Thornton, no one had any belief in.
No, get out of here.
Fine. You have Pop Douglas, who was invisible yesterday after being sick in London the previous week and not being able to stay on the field. That's a guy who's complained about
touches. Because he looked good. Drake May's first start, one of my takeaways was Pop Douglas looks pretty good. Douglas looks like a guy.
Well, he was good in that Houston game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But even if you get real receivers, I'm like, I could see him being in
a
the
role.
Mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a role for him.
Yeah, it turns out.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
And then the flying Bourne and Osborne brothers, thanks.
So, KJ Osborne barely played. Good. That's progress. They said he was going to be active and he was going to play. I think it was nine snaps and he did nothing, like always. And then Kendrick Bourne calls the team out.
Yeah.
And he comes out and has a bunch of drops and was chastising himself after the game for how poorly he played. I think he took to social media and said he promised better performances going forward.
No, but he was bad.
Then you have Javon Baker.
Oh.
Okay, Javon Baker was active yesterday. He was returning kicks. I don't believe he was targeted in the passing game.
He had one kick return, got him to the 20.
Okay, So this guy got an illness, quote unquote.
Sure.
In London.
Uh-huh.
He ended up being scratched for that game. I guess he wasn't a healthy scratch, but maybe he was.
He didn't play.
Here's Phil Perry on NBC Sports Boston prior to kickoff yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think it's about professionalism, Tom, and it's about making sure you're doing everything you can to ensure that you're putting your best foot forward. The Patriots had a meeting earlier this week on Thursday about exactly that. Are we doing everything not only on the field, but off as well when it comes to even things like nutrition and recovery and rest? And I think that receiver room is a room that needed to hear those words. It's my understanding that Javon Baker, the fourth-round rookie, did miss curfew on Saturday night in London, was late getting back to the team hotel ahead of their game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was inactive for that game. He will be in uniform today, however. The Patriots will have six receivers in uniform, Baker included, but it's moments like that, especially for a player who's had a hard time getting on the field, period, because of his inability to understand exactly where he needs to be and win on a consistent basis within this offense. It's those types of issues that are holding this group back, and you hope it doesn't hold the quarterback back.
Okay, so Phil says he missed curfew.
Yeah.
And I know Gerard Mayo said they're not talking about London anymore. Well, you fanned the flames for this, Gerard, by calling your team soft and having the discipline or lack thereof with these players. Mike Reese called it a hiccup, Keith.
Okay.
With the itinerary that they had. He said tightening things up was a team-wide theme.
Nice.
Returning home from London. So there's your receiver room.
I know it could be viewed as premature, but I'm pretty ready to say Polk and Baker, the rookie class, busts. Think about it. When Javon Baker was given an opportunity in the preseason, dropping passes left and right.
Left and
he
right.
He sucked in the preseason, remember?
Did. Yeah.
And I still wanted to see, like, all right, give the guy a chance. Got him in the fourth round. Seemed like good value in the fourth round. Like, if you were following the draft at all in the college prospects.
Especially if you ask him. He's a top 10 receiver in the league. I got him in the fourth round.
Make people in wheelchairs stand up.
Is what
he said.
Yeah, get your popcorn, yeah.
Jalen Polk, I wanted to like. Second round pick in a group of a lot of other second, late first round picks in there.
How did you feel about him as a prospect?
Polk?
Yes.
I didn't love it.
Me neither.
I was like, all right, they took a receiver in the second round. I was happy with that.
I liked draft capital. I didn't like Mitchell
more. I like Keon Coleman a little bit more. Same. I'm trying to think going back to, I didn't like McConkey. I can't say I liked McConkey a ton. I think Fitzy did because we did a lot of shows leading up to it. I liked a lot of receivers. And I was like.
The feeling to me was they reached, but they had conviction, and they took a receiver early in the second round, which I was fine with the draft capital.
I obviously loved the big four. Those guys were kind of out of the way.
And I thought Polk looked good in the preseason.
I'll take him.
Me too. I liked what I saw when I actually saw him in the preseason games.
But then the stuff that he said and then the drops, and you're like, oh, my God. And so, you know, he didn't play because of concussion. If he was healthy, based on what they've been doing, I feel like he was going to play anyway. Don't you?
Yeah,
they were going to play him.
And so, to me, you said this earlier, a lot of focus on the offensive line and how bad the offensive line is.
Yeah.
I feel like they've righted that ship.
Yeah, it seems fine. It's not great, but
it's fine. The receiver room has somehow got... It was not good ever.
Yeah, no,
it's
worse.
And it's seemingly getting worse week over week. The only thing that even saved it remotely yesterday... was Kayshon Boutte finally making a couple of plays, but between...
Yeah. No, those were good, but...
Getting into trouble off the field and squawking on social media and dropping everything in sight, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible receiver room.
Yeah, I think it's the combination of Drake May going in, so there's going to be more chances,
yep,
and then them not really being able to live up to it, short of a couple of plays here and there, and then just how vocal all of them are. And some of it's just hiding behind Instagram. Others is just talking to whatever reporter is in the locker room about.
Boutte was talking to reporters.
Yeah. No, but like Tyquan Thornton was just an Instagram thing. Jalen Reagor before he got cut was like an Instagram thing. But I'm saying like they all have something.
Yeah.
Each guy on the team is associated with something, some sort of complaint about their role on the team. And you're like, if you guys were on any other team, you might not even be on the team. So like, you might be a practice squad guy.
Let me ask it to you this way. Bigger need, receiver or O-lineman? Whenever they can address it, if it's at the trade deadline next week, if it's in the draft or free agency, what's a bigger need?
I think I'm going to pivot to wideout. It was line. And you know what I mean? I'm always going to go with wideouts for the longest time. I think it might be right now. Wide out. Like, I think Elliott Wolf and everybody on the offensive side, it took them forever. It took them way too long. But I think you can find, and this is maybe a Belichick thing too, in the NFL, I think you have a better chance of getting third, fourth, fifth round guards, guys that weren't drafted, like offensive linemen.
I mean, who's their best O-lineman that people feel is their best? He's having a terrible year.
On when
it was a sixth round pick.
Where was Andrews drafted?
He was not.
That's right. So, I mean, those are your two best guys. Cole Strange is a first rounder. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
But, play that game, yeah.
But like, I think there are wide receivers that were not first round picks, obviously. Like Devontae Adams was a second rounder. Tyreek Hill, although there was red flags around him, is a fifth rounder. So there are guys, but like, where do you find them, like just off the scrap heap or like seventh round? Like, I feel like that's harder to do. Like, and I've always maintained this, and this is just a difference of opinion. There are people that don't feel this way. But if you said elite receivers, average O-line versus elite O-line, average receivers, I'm taking the elite
Me too.
Wide receivers. You can't have bottom of the basement either one. Like, if you have awful linemen or awful receivers, your offense is going to stink.
Look,
but if it's one or the other, I think you're more likely to coach up an average O-line
100%.
Then take some receivers and be like, hey, guys, do this, and all of a sudden they're going to look great.
So I totally agree with that. And again, we're not saying you have to use your highest draft pick on a receiver. That's not what we're saying.
No. They still need to take linemen.
What's the bigger need?
Yeah.
The bigger need. So, like, at the trade deadline in a week,
right, yeah.
I would rather have them go get a weapon in the passing game for Drake May over an offensive lineman. And in free agency, go out and sign T. Higgins. And then if you do that, you can draft someone in the top 10.
You know, it would be
on the offensive line. They're both needs, but I'm with you. Receiver's a bigger need.
I don't think he would answer this, and it doesn't really do him any favors to answer it publicly. But if you ask Drake May, like, we can get you like a Pro Bowl. Let's not go all pro. We get you a Pro Bowl left tackle or a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Which one do you want?
He's going to say receiver.
I think so.
I don't think, again, I'm with you. He wouldn't answer it. But
no,
if you gave him the truth serum, what would a quarterback rather have? They'd rather have the weapon.
Because I think he's also proven over the last 2.5 games that he can also make the line look a little bit better.
Yes.
He can only do so much with the receivers. Like, he can get them the ball, but they still have to catch it.
Yeah.
And then also, can they break a tackle and run? Like,
no, and you said it. He would probably have elite weapons and an average offensive line than the other way around.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And I would rather that too. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. We had breaking news about a half an hour ago on the show. If you missed it, Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. And then it's time for Grab Bag.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, it certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keith, WEEI, on this Patriots Monday. Talking a lot about the Patriots' win over the Jets. Also, the Josh Uche trade today as he goes to the Chiefs for a future sixth-round pick.
Not that far in the future, just 2026.
2026.
Yeah.
That's like when the Batman 2 comes out, Dune 3, I think, comes out in 2026. So there's time to get to that big draft.
When you seem to understand, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with Grab Bag.
New one.
That's a listener one.
Oh, that's a listener.
That's a
one.
Listener submission.
How about that? Where do people send those if they ever have
Keith at WEEI.com.
That's
I believe.
It?
Yeah, that's all
okay.
It is.
Keith at
that's all.
That's real easy.
Hey, the Bruins had a game over the weekend, Jones. How about a 4-3 overtime winner against the Toronto Maple Leafs? What do you think?
Marchand got his first goal.
Marchand did
in
yes,
that game.
Did.
It was incredible how wide open, if you're watching this, at the end of regulation, this is Saturday night.
Yep.
At the end of regulation, how wide open Austin Matthews was.
That was frustrating.
It was like, man, he's just maybe the best goal scorer in the NHL. The guy is just skating circles
he's
around everybody.
He's led the league, three of the last 4 years in goals?
Wide open for a deflection to beat Swayman. You go to overtime.
Brad Marchand.
But then Matthews has a brutal giveaway in overtime.
Giveth and he taketh.
And Marchand gets the game winner. Yep. I thought it was Pastrnak in real time. Judd thought it was Pastrnak in real time. Well, kind of his job, not so much mine.
No, less so yours.
But Marchand got the winner, and so Bruins back in business,
They got the same record as the Toronto Maple Leafs do right now. Pastrnak scored on the power play his sixth goal, and then obviously assisted on the game winner. Swayman had 20 saves in net for the win.
Yeah, you'd like to see more of those and fewer goals.
We'll see the Bees tomorrow at home against the Philadelphia Flyers. So look forward to that.
Grab bag.
Was that Excitebike?
What a payoff.
That was Mario 2, I think.
What a payoff. That's Mario 2.
But that's Super Mario Brothers 2.
But nice.
I only play as the princess because she can kind of float.
2 is swill.
You don't like 2?
I don't.
I can't picture 2.
I'm a left and right guy, not an up and down guy.
I can't picture 2.
2's amazing. So 2 wasn't even a Mario game. It was some other game. But because of the Mario popularity, they were like, all right, let's put the Mario characters in this.
Oh, they just jammed the characters.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah. So you get to choose at each start screen if you want to be Mario, Luigi, Toad, or Princess. They all have slightly different abilities.
Yeah.
Princess could kind of like almost fly.
Nice.
Kind of unfair. Kind of OP, as they would say.
Yeah, I would
play as Princess. Okay. I could beat that game.
3 is when you can fly around with the fireballs.
Yeah, you get whistles or flutes.
So 3 I can picture.
3 was an all-time game. They're all-time games to me. But Billy doesn't like 2.
Yeah, well, he calls
2 is like, you know, you really go from, like, you go from right to left, and now you go from, north, you know, south to north.
Up, down a little bit if you want. Not every level is up, down. Some of it's left, right. There's also, you could go back where you never could go back. Remember in Mario 1, like, if you go too far to the right, it's like,
that's an invisible wall.
Dude, screen's moving on you. You ain't going back. Can't turn back now. But the Boston Celtics played on Saturday, Jones. They were up real big, and then they kind of blew it, and then they came back, and they beat the Detroit Pistons. 124-118, Jason Tatum had 37 points. C's are a perfect 3-0 to start the year. And tonight, at home, kind of sneaky here, the Milwaukee Bucks. It's a good little game, right?
Real nice little game.
I like that little game.
I'll tell you. I'm not.
What are you telling me?
Loving what I've seen out of the Celtics defensively. I've been telling you this since the first game.
Yeah, you've been on this.
118 points to the Pistons. They were down late. Didn't you make a nice bet, Keith?
I did. I feel the only bet I hit all weekend, so I should tell everybody about it. I was able to. They were down like 4 with like 4.5 minutes to go, and they were like -105 to just win. I'm like, they're gonna beat the Pistons. The Pistons aren't gonna win a close game late against a team like the Celtics.
No.
Then the Celtics stormed back and they got the win. So they didn't cover the original number, but if you live bet them in the fourth quarter, you got a good value.
Nice work. Yeah. The biggest plays in the game, Jrue Holiday stuck a couple of big threes down the stretch. Derek White, I say I'm concerned about the Celtics defense. Derek White had a massive block towards the end of regulation with the Celtics, I think, already up 2 at that point, if I'm not mistaken. But
that block was sick.
But they were up 2, right?
And they might have been. Yeah,
I think they were
protecting
up
the lead,
when that block happened. And so the situation there is just they should be blowing out a team like Detroit. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were looking past to the Bucks tonight. If
they
hammer the Bucks like they hammered the Knicks in the opener, then no harm, no foul. But let's watch it.
Fire! Wind! Water! Heart! Go play!
By your powers combined, I am Captain
Grabbag.
Well, that one I get.
You get that one?
Captain Grabbag. I love that show.
Twitch chat is asking. We're going to get to it here anyway. So we have all on this show finished the Red Sox documentary, The Comeback. The 3 episodes on Netflix.
Yeah, I was the last one that I finished over the weekend. Yes, I was the last one.
Excellent. We are going to talk about it in length tomorrow. Do we have a time yet? Sometime tomorrow during the show.
Let's see what happens with the show. Let's see. But we'll spend an extended amount of time on The Comeback tomorrow. Yes.
Tune in to find out.
Yeah.
But we very much enjoyed it. A lot of member berries when it comes to this. But I think well done.
Good Very stuff. Well done.
But we'll spoil it tomorrow. I mean, spoil as much as you can.
I'll tell you. Here's a spoiler.
Go ahead.
The third episode, the best one.
You like that third
that
episode?
That was the best. I really liked the first episode.
Yeah.
I was shmeh about the second episode. But the
team really found that groove in the third episode.
Yeah, no, the third episode is where it was at.
What a good team, though.
That gave you all the good stuff.
They had a nice squad that year.
Spoiler.
I like the players.
Yeah.
Grab bag. World Series is going on. Game 3 tonight from the Bronx.
Yeah.
L.A. Dodgers with a 2-0 lead over the Yankees. Walker Buehler will be on the mound tonight against Clark Schmidt.
How do you feel about, we were talking about this before the show. How do you feel about Yankees fans booing Aaron Judge? Like tonight, if they boo Judge, how do you feel about that? Is that in bounds?
He's not been a great playoff performer,
he's
right?
He's 6 for 40 this postseason with 19 strikeouts. I believe, let me double check.
Guy takes hacks, though. He doesn't get cheated usually.
No, he does not.
I like that about him.
I believe he's below 200 for his career in the postseason, if I'm not mistaken. He's 199.
It's kind of like A-Rod. A-Rod had a stretch there where he couldn't hit in the postseason, right?
Bronson Arroyo's glove callback.
He did smack that glove.
And so,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, can't smack the glove.
Nah, you really can't. And so,
Should you be allowed to smack the glove? If you could change one rule about baseball, would it be smacking gloves?
I would allow it, yeah. Knock it right out of there.
That's fair.
Hold on to that thing. But no,
contact sport.
If Yankees fans turn on Aaron Judge tonight, zero problem with it. They
get
should. You're about to be down 3-0.
Then I think he should demand a trade and get his ass out of there.
To where?
Anywhere else.
The Red Sox.
And then if I'm Juan Soto, I see the treatment that he's getting. I go, I don't want to come back here.
I'll join him on the Red Sox.
I also want to play with him on the Red Sox.
Wow. Two-point plan to fix the Red Sox.
I nailed it.
Nice.
Would you guys take Soto and Judge?
617-779-793. Do you want both?
Where are you going to play Willier Abreu, Jones? Can't take both those guys.
That's a good point.
But Yoshida has to DH, right?
Outfield's clock. Well, yeah.
Where's Yoshida going to play?
He's
a good point by Nick.
I'd put Soto in right. Yeah. I would put Judge in center, and I'd put Duran in left.
Yeah?
And I have Yoshida, obviously DH.
Clearly.
Obviously he's going to DH.
Abreu's like a super
Willier Abreu, this is going to hurt. He's going to have to start the year in Worcester.
Yeah.
He's going to anchor that Worcester team.
Where's Roman Anthony?
He might trade Abreu for an ace. I mean, right?
Or I would trade Abreu
for Aaron Judge.
You have to give up something for Judge.
Good
point. I hadn't thought about
Take Willier.
Yeah. Maybe Roman Anthony for the ace.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Don't touch the prospects.
We fixed them.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
They're going to be, when the Josh Uche pick hits, that's when the prospects are all going to be in midseason form.
And here comes the grab bag. Grab bag.
You know, we obviously focused most of our talk today about the Patriots and their win, but nationally it is much more about the Jets' loss.
Oh, yeah.
Including a guy who used to work at our sister station, WFAN. You could argue he and the Mad Dog, you know, breathed life into the whole thing. That'd be Mike Francesa, who now has a podcast, Jones.
I was going to ask, is that where he is?
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Yeah.
We're podcast brothers, me and Francesa.
Yeah. Contemporaries?
Yeah, peers.
I think that's what I was looking for. Yes.
So that's exciting. And so after the game, he was ranting and raving on the Mike Francesa podcast about
good stuff,
how it went with the Jets.
Bill Parcells used to say to me, my kicker doesn't kick
80%. That was a good start.
Classic Francesa right away.
Bill Parcells used to tell me.
Yeah.
Not he used to say it. He used to tell me.
So like, no joke, it is an anecdote from 40 years ago.
Easy.
Maybe 50. There's a chance he was told this 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
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 80s? Well, no, that's 40 years.
Well, but whatever. But maybe, what was Parcells' first year? Like 79?
Oh, maybe.
I think so.
The G-Men?
Yeah. Early. Yeah. It could have been 50 years ago.
Bill Parcells used to tell me. Honestly, that should be the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Bill Parcells used to tell me with Mike Francesa.
I'd listen. I like Francesa. I would listen to this.
Francesa's good.
Yeah.
Bill Parcells used to say to me, my kicker doesn't kick 80% of his field goals. He's somebody else's kicker. Zerline has to be somebody else's kicker or nobody's kicker. Get rid of him.
Right?
How many games can he lose in 1 year? Extra points, field goals. I mean, how many can they? And then how can they not get a play in on the whole time they're coming down the field? You know, if you score, you need a 2-point play. You're going to be up 5. And you get a delay of game. How is that possible? What are you guys doing on the sideline? Everything the Jets touches turns to garbage. Complete and utter garbage. I never thought they could top some of the stuff they've done in the past. But you know what? Today was as low could possibly be.
What do you think of that?
Good rant.
Yep.
Good, solid, strong rant. That's a nice one.
Mike Francesa appears to fart while ripping Adam Gase.
That headline needs, where was he reading that? That needs a little work.
I don't know.
I like Inge a lot. If you could get Inge, I like him a lot.
They need a guy in a bullpen.
I mean, If you could get Inge, I tell you, I would be interested in Inge.
Oh, would you?
That's actually my favorite all-time Francesa
thing. Over and over and over again, fixated on Brandon Inge.
He mentioned Brandon Inge's name like 100 times. It was classic, like, he wasn't listening to the dog wasn't listening to him. He was fixated on Brandon Inge.
They're both just deep in baseball reference.
He's talking about something else. He's talking about giving something else up, and he's like reading the newspaper and be like, I like Inge. I didn't know Inge was available.
Hopefully he didn't spoil today's random player.
It's like 20. It's not.
Good point.
It's not.
One, there is not.
Two, three, four, five.
If counting is pretty good.
I don't even know that I could prove damages because I don't think it's damaging.
When he ripped fought.
Bill Parcells, first year with the Giants as a defensive coordinator, 79.
Mm.
He then left for the Patriots for a year, went back to the Giants in the early 80s. So, yeah, it could be a very old quote. By the way, Scott Sisson, I looked this up.
Scott missing Sisson.
If you're not kicking 80%, you're someone else's kicker?
Yeah, how do you do?
Scott Sisson, 54%. Next year, somebody else's kicker.
Yeah, there you go.
That?
Here's the Mink Man.
Right, is the Mink Man got a podcast?
I would imagine he's on that podcast, you would think.
You think?
Yeah.
Nice.
I personally am to like Inge a lot.
Yeah, we know. We got it.
It's loud and clear on the Inge love. We got it. It's fine.
No gray area.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Brandon Inge.
All right. Done.
Took my guess.
Correct.
Damn it. All right. Everybody's been waiting for this all day long. Who's the random player of the day going to be? We're going to go with a baseball player who played from 1990 to 2004.
Okay.
He played with a number of teams, mostly with the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
He was also on the Montreal Expos, New York Mets, Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers, Cleveland Indians, and Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
But again, mostly with the Baltimore Orioles. Montreal was the next high for games played. He played first base, and left field.
But David Segui,
correct.
Oh, Billy, I think you missed the fadeaway on Twitch, but it was a strong. He held it up there for you.
That is pretty.
That
good.
Was a hanging gooseneck for a long time. is what I saw. David Segui.
One guess.
Wow.
We're out.
David Segui, we were just talking about the early 90s Oakleys, Keith. This is a conversation. Now, I feel like David Segui.
The ones that got away.
David Segui rocked those hard, I think. At least some kind of glove. Maybe they weren't Oakleys.
They were so expensive.
Yeah.
As a kid, you'd be like, I want those Oakleys. And they'd be like $150. And you're like,
I can vividly picture a baseball card of David Segui just rocking. Oh, yeah, they're those Oakleys. For sure, they're those Oakleys.
Probably 97 when he hit 21 ding-dongs for Montreal.
Looks like he got caught up in the frosted tip phase.
He hit all. He checks all the boxes.
Yeah, it looks like he did quite
a long career.
Also, I believe he also checks the PED suspension.
Maybe. Was he one of those? So, well, you know,
might have been a Mitchell report name.
Maybe. Well,
who among us?
But he never. 21 was his high, so he probably thought he was flying under the radar. But guess not, bud.
Yeah, he juiced it up to 21.
Guess not.
Never made an All-Star team.
No, but close.
Career 291 hitter. That's a good player.
Good average.
Yeah, nice stick.
Less pop than you think.
Nah,
he looks like a home run hitter. But
you know
he
what
wasn't.
He said? He looked at himself in the mirror and said, "Not enough pop. I gotta get on the juice."
802 career OPS. I don't hate that.
I mean, either.
Grab bag. Real quick, your horror.
I feel like that. We could have tried a little harder on that one. I feel like.
They're all good. Yeah. They're all in their own way.
Yeah.
Horror movie of the day. Yeah. It is the spooky week. This is the final week of the spooky season. Going to go with a classic. 1992's Candyman is currently streaming on Peacock. So check out Candyman either for the first time or maybe for the 10th time. Mm. Give it a go. Excellent.
Hunter Henry won't.
No, Henry, you know what? He doesn't like I don't mind if you say I don't watch horror movies. That's what Hunter Henry said.
Yeah.
When you just long pause into oblivion like Christian Gonzalez, and then you pull Halloween out.
I will say this because we've piled on Gonzalez a bit, rightfully so. But Hunter Henry did say my parents wouldn't let me dress as anything scary.
Yes.
And then he said he doesn't like scary movies.
Right.
And so
correlation?
Well,
probably.
Yeah. Either the parents influenced that, or maybe they just knew they were saving him from himself.
Yeah.
And he was easily spooked as a child.
What do you think of that?
I don't want to grade them all, but it was probably the worst one I've heard. Yeah.
What is that smell? Oh, that's right. Grab bag.
So that's it for the grab bag. New dorks tonight, by the way. Two new dorks.
Oh.
Davey and I are going to do episode 6 of The Penguin and the latest comic book movie at the box office, Venom, The Last Dance. So we're going to have Scottie Pippen on, Ho Grant. We're going to have all these guys stop by. We're going to talk Last Dance.
Wow. Wow, this is going to be good.
Yeah, no, the movie wasn't.
Just,
but we'll talk about it nonetheless.
Phil Jackson, B.J. Armstrong.
Yeah, Tony Kukoc will be there.
Yeah, Clutch. Yeah. Craig Hodges?
Hodges. He'll win you a three-point shootout.
Oh, for sure.
If you need him to.
Yeah, every time.
Ron Harper. Mm. Bill Wennington.
My guy, Dickie Simpkins.
And now.
Yeah.
It's from Central Arkansas, Scotty, i.e. Pippen.
That was, again, I think the thing that broke my brain the most was that Scottie Pippen was born Scott with a Y. Scotty with a Y.
He
changed it to I.E.
Yeah, because we were kind of making fun of his kid. We're like, what are you doing?
No, Scottie Pippen Jr. actually spells it correctly. That blew my mind. I think about it three times a night.
The older we get, the more we realize there's not a lot of redeeming qualities with that man.
Scottie Pippen?
Yeah.
I love Scottie Pippen. What are you talking about?
A basketball player.
Excellent.
But
amazing voice.
Good voice.
Real nice voice.
Good voice.
Changing the spelling of his name.
Yeah.
Odd, that's an odd duck move.
We got to get him on the show.
And
then,
like,
ask
he's
about
still
that.
Like flummoxed that like people think Jordan's better than him. Like, that's,
I mean, Jordan
that's
had a good career too. Gave me two goats.
I mean, Jordan was pretty good, I guess.
Jordan was a good player, yeah. but I love Pippen.
All right, that's the grab bag. Each and every day at this time here on Jones and Keith.
Gotham won't be safe until there's grab bag for all.
It's Patriots Monday. Jacoby Brissett going to join WEEI Afternoons. We'll check in with Arcan and Hart next. Grab bag! Patriots Monday. Jones and Keith wrapping things up here on WEEI. The crossover is brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. Four hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You gotta love the nines. I was looking at Andy Hart's Twitter timeline, Keith. They're going to be down at Gillette today.
Oh, yeah? Is he arguing with people like he
does? Well, no, he is, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's going on there. There's no doubt about it. I think he's chirping Giardi, trolling Giardi in his latest tweet. But he put up earlier today, Patriots fans, are you happy that the Patriots beat the Jets yesterday? And you might be surprised at the results, because I feel like there's quite a few fans who are upset. It's worthless. What are they doing? Plus, Drake May got hurt.
Yeah.
Yes, F the Jets. Option number one.
That's a good option.
Nope. Want the number one pick. No. Option number two.
Okay.
Three, mixed feelings.
Oh, confused.
Yeah.
Not sure.
How would you
vote? Sit on the fence. I would vote the first one.
You wouldn't vote mixed feelings.
Because
I do have mixed feelings.
So I had mixed feelings. I think we talked it out, and that's why this show is so great. We talked it out, because at the beginning, I did have kind of mixed feelings, because Drake May got hurt. And so specifically, this season was so much about Drake May.
Mine is not about tanking and the number one pick.
No,
mine is just about Drake May. That's
why I
have mixed feelings.
But I think it's outweighed by what the Jets are now going through and what the New York fans are going through. It's hilarious. They thought they were going to be good.
Like Francesa.
Yes.
Who's not even a Jets fan, but still.
They have the same record. Like, the Patriots are awful. And we all, as Patriots fans, admit that they are an awful team. They have the same record, and they have split two games with the Jets. Like, the Jets season is over for what they wanted it to be. The Patriots, we still have a season, because hopefully Drake May is back this week or the next week, and we watch him play and some of the other young guys, and that's what we have. The Jets just traded for Davante Adams, which I thought at the time was a good move, but seems like that's going to be a waste. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to, like, ride this thing out. You have an interim coach who doesn't – I don't think he knows what the hell he's doing. You got a play caller that I don't think Rodgers wants to work with now calling plays. They are more of a disaster than the Patriots. And in part, like, yesterday kind of concluded that. Like, that was, like, to me, so wild to watch the Jets look as bad as they did. So I'll take it. I'll say it's a good win.
The Orlovsky stat, again, is unreal.
Yeah.
20-plus points, no turnovers, fewer than 250 yards, 750 wins, one loss. And that loss yesterday was the Jets.
It's crazy.
So, look, I am ultimately happy with the win. I'll acknowledge I have mixed feelings about it again just because they lost Drake May. I would prefer it if they won yesterday with Drake May. He technically gets the victory for that game, but we all know how it actually played out. Brissett won them that game. So, full credit there. But I'm happy they won. I do think there are tangible benefits to winning some of these games and having the team not completely checked out before Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, there will be a benefit for Drake May. It will pay dividends down the line for Drake May and his development going forward. Even though they won without him, that the team isn't fully out on Mayo. I don't think they're fully in, by the way. You're playing a team that's a mess on the other side. The Jets are a absolute mess. They might be worse than you. They're more talented, but they might be a bigger mess than you. Yesterday, they were. So I think there is a tangible benefit somewhere down the line when May comes back. It's why I'm happy with it. And I don't need the number one pick in this draft, but I still wish May was out. He looked so good early on in the game.
I
looked so good to start the game.
He did. But, I agree. Like, there's also a point where I think the team, I think it's fair to say that they work pretty hard. They're just not very talented. And so at one point, if you just keep losing and like you're working hard and you're practicing hard, you're trying hard, and then it's 7 losses in a row, 8 losses in a row, 9 losses in a row. Well, now you might soon combine your lack of effort with a lack of even trying. And then what does that look like? And then how do you gauge Drake May? If he's out there with a bunch of guys that are already kind of checked out, like that's not good.
Let me give you one more before we go. We'll probably spend some time on this tomorrow. Bill Belichick on McAfee.
Oh.
Asked moments ago about the Patriots responding to Jerod Mayo for calling them soft.
Yeah.
Quote, a lot of mistakes by the Jets out there.
Well, you should have asked me what he was going to say so I could have predicted
I'm sorry. Keith. Bill Belichick was asked yesterday about Jerod Mayo calling the team soft.
He's going to make a comment about the Jets' mistakes.
All right.
Crushed it.
I'll probably start with that
tomorrow. Actually did say that earlier in the show. We actually did. He said he's either not going to talk about it or he's going to blame the Jets.
Yeah. Oh, no. He'll talk about the Jets.
Yes.
And the Jets are newsy at the national level, so I don't even fault him for that. But he better follow through and also give Mayo a little credit.
Bet he doesn't.
I would also bet he doesn't, but I've not listened to the full thing. I'll do that. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll also talk about the comeback at length tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
We've been teasing that for a while.
Tier Tuesday.
We'll ultimately pay it off before the Patriots get their draft return for Josh Uche.
Yep.
Yes, Tier Tuesday tomorrow. A Tommy Tuesday.
Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Woo!
D'Angelo's Tuesday. Maybe I'm most excited for that, Keith. So stay tuned
subs,
for
subs, subs,
the
subs, subs,
afternoon.
Subs, 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 subs.
Arcan Hart, they got you covered here on Patriots Monday. We're back tomorrow at 10 on WEEI.